Ladies, welcome to our Bible study segment. We are in the book of Esther. Now here's our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert.
Hey, Amy. I'm glad to be here today. Well, yesterday we saw that Mordecai refused to bow down and give worship to Haman. It was more than just showing him honor as a person in authority over him. And today we're going to see what Haman's plan is to get rid of Mordecai and all the Jews. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Esther. We're going to be in chapter 3, verses 7 through 15 today. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pur, that is, they cast lots, before Haman day after day, and they cast it month after month, till the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of every other people, and they do not keep the king's laws, so that it is not to the king's profit to tolerate them. If it please the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who have charge of the king's business, that they may put it into the king's treasuries." So the king took his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman the Agagite, the son of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews. And the king said to Haman, "The money is given to you, the people also, to do with them as it seems good to you." Then the king's scribes were summoned on the 13th day of the first month, and an edict, according to all that Haman commanded, was written to the king's satraps and to the governors over all the provinces and to the officials of all the peoples, to every province in its own script and every people in its own language. It was written in the name of King Ahasuerus and sealed with the king's signet ring. Letters were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with instruction to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all Jews, young and old, women and children, in one day, the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their goods. A copy of the document was to be issued as a decree in every province by proclamation to all the peoples to be ready for that day. The couriers went out hurriedly by order of the king, and the decree was issued in Susa, the citadel. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Susa was thrown into confusion. Okay, there's a bit more to this passage than meets the eye at first glance. Now, first of all, we saw yesterday that Haman had decided that he wanted to get rid of all the Jews. So here we see as Haman casts lots to decide on the exact date when to execute the Jews, the lot that he was casting was called the pur. That's where the word the Jewish people used for this the festival surrounding Esther is from. The plural of pur is purim. Esther's festival is purim. Okay, now this sounds like this took forever, right? But it didn't. What they were doing was casting the lots to determine the day and the month that Haman will then suggest to the king ought to be the day of the destruction for the Jews. So when it says that they cast the lots day after day, it doesn't mean they kept coming back day after day. It means that they cast lots until saying, okay, this will be for the first day, this will be for the second day, until they got an answer that they wanted. Also, as you do the math here, the month of Nisan was also the month of Passover. Haman is plotting against the Jews during the same time as their celebration of Passover, their redemption from Egypt. The timing that is decided upon leads to an 11-month hiatus. Haman has picked the execution day for 11 months in the future. So then Haman goes to Ahasuerus and he lies. Now he never actually mentions the Jews. He only mentions a certain group. He then tells one of those half-truths that make your head hurt on the ACT test. You know the ones where two-thirds of the statement is true, but that final one-third is a kicker and it's totally wrong. Keep in mind, there were a lot of conquered people groups within the Persian Empire. Haman could have been talking about any number of them and how he describes the Jews. Dispersed among the peoples in all the province of the kingdom. Their laws are different from the other groups. Do not keep the king's laws. And then his conclusion, since they're so widely spread out and their laws are different from everyone else, and they don't keep the king's laws, the king isn't going to gain anything by allowing them to live. He should just be rid of them. Well, yes, the Jews did keep themselves apart as much as possible from the Persians. And yes, their customs were different from the Persians. No, though, they did not disobey the king's laws. Haman recommends annihilation of these people in the king's best interest. By the way, Haman's decree against the Jews is virtually the same one that was decreed against the Amalekites in 1 Samuel chapter 15, when Saul was ordered to destroy them but didn't obey. To show how seriously that he feels about this issue, Haman offers to pay the king to destroy the Jews. He offers 10,000 talents of silver, which would translate to several million dollars today. And Haman is offering to give that money to the king, to his treasury. This same king who has been trying to raise funds and people for his wars. And according to verse 13, those who destroyed the Jews were to keep the spoils from those killings for themselves. So he's offering, paying this 10,000 talents of silver with no thought of recompense. This shows how much Haman hated the Jews, that he was willing to pay this huge sum of money to be rid of them. Though Haman offered to pay this huge sum of money, either the king refused it or returned it to Haman. As he does this, he also tells Haman to take the Jews as well, giving Haman full power to do whatever he saw fit with the Jews. Now, notice the power that Haman has. The king doesn't even check Haman's facts at all. He never even asks who this group is. He just accepts Haman's word that there is a mysterious faction and that they're disobedient. And he says, sure, go ahead and destroy them. For the king to give Haman his ring was a token of the greatest affection and friendship imaginable, and he gave this to Haman to seal the letters to be sent out calling for the destruction of the Jews. So Haman is the one who drafts this decree, has it signed by the ring of the king, making it a royal edict, and then has it translated into every possible language within Persia so that everyone will know what is coming. Now remember, we saw the effects of the royal edict when Vashti was deposed. Once a royal edict is made, it cannot be unmade. It cannot be vetoed or rescinded. It stands. They sent letters informing all the places of the empire what the edict said. And what did it say? It said that on a specific day, on that one day, the direction is given to all the people to kill, destroy, and annihilate all the Jews, young, old, women, children, not fight this army, but kill your neighbor. And as incentive to obey this, once you kill them, take their stuff. The reaction of the people is one of incredulity. What is going on? What have they done? Why are they being not just persecuted, but slated for execution? Can you imagine the consequence of this? This is a death warrant to be carried out in 11 months. Everyone is to be ready on this specific day, 11 months away, to kill their neighbors or any Jews they know of and take their stuff. There were, I'm sure, those who began plotting right then who they would kill so they could take their stuff. I'm sure the Jews started suffering immediately from this as people began treating them as outcasts and plotting their deaths. How would that feel to be a Jew? I'd be terrified that if I said something wrong or offended someone, they'd decide not to wait until that specific day and just kill me right then. When verse 15 says the city of Susa was thrown into confusion, I'd say that was a vast understatement. So in looking at Haman's motives today, Haman hates the Jews so much that he is willing to pay to have them gone. And I guess my question comes from that today. Is there something in your life that you would pay to have go away? What's the thorn in your flesh that you just want to be done with, and if money were no option, you'd gladly pay to be rid of it? Perhaps you would desire to have a physical illness removed. Perhaps you want to pay off a debt, or perhaps there's someone that you would pay to be rid of, just as Haman wanted to get rid of Mordecai and the Jews. As you think about that, can I challenge you to remember a couple of things? First of all, God knows what he's doing, and he has given you that thorn for his purpose. Consider what you've already learned as a result of that thorn. Perhaps you've been learning what perseverance in tough circumstances really looks like. Perhaps you've been learning that your own sin has worsened or even caused this thorn to exist. Perhaps he's been teaching you how to rely on him instead of trying to control everything yourself, as circumstances completely outside of your control overwhelm you. Take that thorn that you have and bring it to God, and if I can be this bold, thank God for it. Thank him for the lessons that he's teaching you, the refining that he's doing in you. Let go of your desire for your own agenda regarding that issue and ask him to help you to trust that he really does have this in hand, even if it means that you're never going to be rid of whatever that is. Take comfort in him. Don't seek your own solution and jump ahead of his timing. Trust that he is working all things out for his glory and purpose, and that he's working this out for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, And he's working this out for your ultimate good. Even if it means that right now you have to walk through something painful. Trust him.
Well, thank you, Beth. And ladies, that lesson that you just heard is available in a 10-minute audio segment on our website today, along with the individual study guide for today. And look for it at naomistable.com under the Bible Study tab. You can use these as a study for yourself or to teach women around your own table. Nancy and I will be back to talk more about today's lesson in just a moment. Mm-hmm.